Section 4, Christianity, A Successful Failure. Theme, The Falsehoods and Failures of Christianity. Section Introduction. Christians are not entirely wrong about all God things. All religions contain both truth and falsehood. Other world religions like Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, etc. all have both true teachings about human nature and God, as well as errors and falsehoods. Remember, we can rightly make that judgment based on observation, reason, and logic. But examining those other religions is not the topic of this book. What my focusing on Christianity means is that Christians are more accountable for their error due to the fact that they have easy access to the one who says, "I am the truth," and is the one true standard. In fact, they claim to worship him and call him their God, even while they largely ignore him or explain away his most important teachings. Consider this illustration. There once was a man who was looking for driving directions to a certain destination. He asked several people and got several different answers. The first person gave him directions that were way off and did not take him to his destination. The second person gave him directions that took him towards his destination but still left him many kilometers away. The third person gave him directions that could lead to the destination, but she didn't know the specifics about the way, so several parts of the directions could easily lead to dead-end roads or very dangerous road situations that would lead most drivers to drive off a cliff. The last person gave him directions to what he believed was the right destination instead of the destination the man asked for. This is the story of Christianity and the Christians who proclaim and defend it. Sincere people looking for answers to life's most important questions encounter Christians of the various sects or divisions who give them the wrong directions. Please consider the following saying in regard to people saying they understand, but really don't. Quote, to those who are given much, much will be expected. Quote, if you didn't claim to know, you would have no fault or guilt or sin. But since you claim that you know, your fault, guilt, and sin remains. As one who has spent about the last 40 years experiencing or thinking about Christian religion, I can tell you what the statement most Christians would make. Christ is the figurehead of our religion does not mean. It does not mean that the leaders of Christian religion and their followers have the historical Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth, that is the subject of the four gospel books, as their master. The term master means a person looked to for complete or superior knowledge in the domain they claim mastery of. Therefore, to use reason well, if a Christian had the original person of Joshua Jesus of Nazareth as their master, then they would hold and practice their master's teachings in the domain he claimed mastery of. What are the domains that Joshua claims mastery of? Joshua claimed domains of mastery are understanding of the creator of the human race, called God, and the nature, drives, and needs of human beings. I asked the reader to slow down and reread that last sentence and ponder it. That is, Joshua's claimed domains of mastery are understanding of the creator of the human race, called God, and the nature, drives, and needs of human beings. The remarkable fact is that Christians do not have the historical person of Joshua of Nazareth as their master. Oh, they will collectively call some Jesus figure Lord, Lord billions of times each day, but as Joshua said some 2,000 years earlier to the religious people of his day, as he quoted one of their favorite prophets, quote, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines," that is, venerated contents of the statements of faith, "the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men," unquote. That's from Mark chapter 7. Dear reader, nothing has changed in 2,000 years except the religious leaders now use Christ as their bait or figurehead to push their precepts of men, their beliefs about God, not what the historical person of Joshua of Nazareth actually taught. Sound incredible? Sound unbelievable? Sound absurdly fantastic? Well, let's read on. Section title, Various Flavors of Christians. There are several varieties of Christians. The variety of type of Christian is set by the degree to which they have faith and are familiar with the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. There are those that are Christian in label only who might be able to repeat a few teachings of Joshua. These folks have no expressions in their loosely claimed religion, and if you were able to watch their lives over a week, there would be nothing that would give them away as Christians. These might go to their religious organization a few times a year, if at all. How they live their lives and what they care about is indistinguishable from non-Christians, and if given a test on the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, they would fail. Then there are the church-going Christians who are actively participating in their religious organization. They might be able to repeat several dozen sayings of Joshua, but not the ones that go against their church religion. There are different degrees of participation in the religion of these Christians, but at a minimum, they religiously go to church and look to their organization as a significant, if not important, aspect of their life in this world. Other than their church going, these Christians also have virtually no manifestations of their religion during normal daily life. Again, how they live their lives and what they care about is indistinguishable from non-Christians, and if given a test on the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, they would fail. Then there are Christian leaders and the other more zealous non-clergy who are not only active in their sect or religious organization, but who diligently study the Bible and their sect's organization's other literature. These are not too different from the former type of Christian in that they may be able to repeat several dozen sayings of Joshua, but unfortunately, they diligently stay away from the sayings of Joshua that would harm their religious practices. Worse, they typically work pretty hard to explain away the teachings of Joshua that get in the way of their God beliefs and how they want to live their lives. Then there are those who build, promote, and defend their religion, their sect, denomination, and their organizations they call the church. The primary manifestations of these Christians are that they are typically more harshly judgmental regarding things they ought not to be. They usually fit their building, promoting, and defending work of their religion into a box called ministry. What ministry means is that they are a formal organization recognized by the world and operating on generally the same principles of success and how to achieve success as the businesses and other organizations around them. However, like their less zealous brethren, and after their ministry work is completed 40 hours a week, their normal lives are virtually indistinguishable from those they call unbelievers. Again, how they live their lives and what they care about is indistinguishable from non-Christians, and if given a test on the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, they too would fail. Finally, there is a very small number of Christians who understand and seek to practice some of the key teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, and thus who live differently than the people around them. The echoes of the light have penetrated them to some degree. They practice some of the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. They are kind and forgiving towards others and generally spend a good bit of time working to help other people. They generally are not materialistic, and thus they don't live for money and are generous. These are those who are active in organizations that feed the needy or build shelters for those with none, etc. In other words, the faith that they have in the light of the world is real and thus active. These are those who have some understanding of what love is and try to practice what they know. Their primary problem is confusion about the standard, and thus they're not understanding the root problems nor the solution. This confusion usually means they will be part of a religious organization thinking that is the only way to, quote, serve God. Their worst problem is not having a clear understanding of how love should be lived out amongst the followers or disciples of Joshua or Jesus. In spite of these weaknesses, they do better than the prior three categories of people. These, unfortunately, are a vast minority among those that call themselves Christians, as a percent probably in the low single digits. These have pretty good hearts, but due to their error about the standard, how they live their lives, and what they care about is mostly indistinguishable from non-Christians, and if given a test on the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth, maybe a few would pass. Inasmuch as they love on others well, they are doing well. Perhaps inaccurate generalizations, but perhaps not. I will let the reader judge, and I hope the reader will judge, especially if you take a Christian label. Beware of the all too common self-deception of, well, not me or my church. This section will be used will use the standard of the teachings of the historical Joshua of Nazareth as found in the four gospel books to bring to light the successful failure that is Christianity. In the next chapter, we will define and seek to understand some critical terms and concepts that the reader must understand in order to be able to understand how and why Christianity is a successful failure.